Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Aletheia Church Boston. Aletheia exists to bring the truth, grace, and changing power of the gospel for the glory of God and the good of all people. For more information, visit aletheia.org.
It's my pleasure and my privilege to get to speak to you from God's Word. And if you're new, and especially if you have young children, don't worry, this should only last 2 or 3 hours. I'm just playing. We're going to be reading from the Gospel of John. Now, if you've been with us at church over the last month, you'll know that we've read the Christmas story from every gospel but this one. And so we round out our discussion of God's big gift to us in Jesus by reading John's strange Christmas story. So if you have a Bible, you can join me in John chapter 1, and if you don't, it should be on the screen behind me. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The one true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me this Christmas? Father, some of us in here are here because Christmas is a wonderful time of worship and remembrance, and it is our regular pattern to be in a space like this on the Christmas season. And some of us are in here because we were invited by a friend, not knowing what we were stepping into. And some of us are in here just checking out Christianity and suspicious of religion. And Lord, you know where we all are. But God, I'm asking that this morning, through my brief words today, you would awaken our hearts to trust you, to trust and see that Jesus Christ is God, the Word, and the final Word. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if I were to ask you to get in your mind one word that summarizes Christmas, what you'd come up with. I've been thinking about this. Some of you, I'm sure, especially the kids in the room, would say something like presents, right? Santa. Right? Or if you're from, yeah. Or if you're from the movie Elf, Santa, right? Some of you, it would be all about the food. Come on, Christmas food. Some of you are like, "We're so hungry for Christmas food right now. Please hurry up." Okay. For some of you, it would be joy. It would be songs, right? It would be going to see the Christmas lights. It would be tree, something like that. Others of you who've lived a few more Christmases, maybe you would you'd choose a different word. Maybe the word you would choose is doubt. Sometimes the longer you live, the more Christmases pass by and you remember Christmases who no longer include some of those who perhaps have passed on. For some of you, the word Christmas brings about another word, maybe loss or sadness or even depression. What word, I wonder, for you, when you hear Christmas, what word does it associate with you? Because in John's Christmas story, there's one word he wants us to see and to relate to and to connect to when it comes to thinking about Advent or thinking about Christmas, but it's not the kind of word that you and I are used to thinking about. It's not the kind of word that you might have thought. It's not like presents or like joy or even like doubt or hope or Santa. The word that John wants us to understand is connected to Christmas is Jesus. But this name, Jesus, it's much bigger than just the name of a guy, Jesus Christ, who shows up and was born into a manger, and how strange that was. But now we get together and sing songs, and for some reason there's a rather large man in a red suit who lives in the North Pole who gets sort of excited about it. No, John wants us to understand, friends, that Christmas is about Jesus, and Jesus Christ is not just a random, he's not just an interesting Palestinian prophet from long ago, he's not just a Jewish law teacher or even a nice guy or a moral exemplar. Jesus Christ is God the Word, and he came to speak the final word. We get together at Aletheia and we're really excited about Jesus, and we say his name a lot, and we sing about him a lot, and we read about him a lot, and we want to emulate him a lot, we pray to him a lot, and we tell a lot of people about him, not because he's just a good guy who lived long ago, but he is the Word made flesh who has dwelt among us. And Jesus Christ, being God the Word, is and has spoken for us and for all humanity the final word. What does that mean? Jesus Christ is God the Word. You may remember way back into your Sunday school lessons long, long time ago, at the very beginning of your Bible, it says, "In the beginning." Just like that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and it was void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light." Let there be light. John knows precisely what he's doing, because when he looks at Jesus and he's retelling the Christmas story in his own words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to all of his readers and all of us who would have this document for the next couple of millennia as we remember Jesus' first coming and we hope for his second coming, he wants us to understand that Jesus Christ is the very word spoken at creation that brought everything into being out of nothing, come wrapped in the tender flesh of a child. So that we, who are wrapped in sinful flesh, might be accepted as children of God. Jesus Christ is God the Word. John connects the idea of let there be light and this spoken word in the book of Genesis to the Christmas story. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And then he connects that this Word was the light of life and everything was made through it. And this light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't understand it, can't overcome it, can't stop it. The Word is light that breaks creation open and breaks dead hearts open and unstops deaf ears and changes lives. And he wants us to understand that Jesus Christ is God the Word. Jesus Christ is God the Word given for us. So the way John summarizes his Christmas story is simply by saying this: the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John, very, very boring Christmas storyteller. No star, no Santa Claus. Got to pay that kid when we're done today. There's no wise men, there's no shepherds, there's no angels, there's just this weird, kind of mysterious philosophical statement. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, John has read Mark and Matthew and Luke drooling on and on about angels and stuff. And he said, all right, I'm going to tell this from a different angle. You see, those Gospels tell the story of Christmas from down here and what it was like to look up there. But John gives us a picture by the power of the Holy Spirit into what Christmas was like from heaven down here. That God, the Son, God the Word, the second person of the Trinity, put on humanity and came into our story. The author of the story steps into the story. God, the Word, Jesus Christ, comes, lives to speak a final word to us. And it's interesting. Later on in the Bible, the scriptures will say that the life of Jesus, the body and blood of Jesus, speak a better word than all of the empty promises of stuff, all of the empty promises of money, all of the empty promises of achievement, all the things that you're sad about that you didn't get, and all the things that you're happy about that you did. Jesus Christ is better and greater and fuller than all of those things because he is God the Word, and he came to give himself to speak a final word, to speak a final word to our Christmas association words. To speak a final word to that joy, to speak a final word to that longing, to speak a final word to that doubt or that loss or that fear or that hope or that expectation or that sense of nagging that you're not quite home yet. And every time you have a Christmas, you realize maybe next year could be better. Maybe this is the one that, you know, all the promises are finally going to come true. Jesus Christ is God the Word who came to speak a final word into your experience that's better than presents and lights and trees and family and music and even Santa. I swear we didn't plant that kid. Jesus Christ is God the Word, and he came to speak the final word. The final word to humanity for our sin, for our brokenness, for our poverty and anger, for our disease, for our disdain, for our dislike, for our hating one another and those on the other side of the aisle, whatever side of the aisle you happen to sit on. It says here, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. Jesus Christ is God, the Word, the one through whom all things were made, who stepped into humanity as a little child so that we who are broken and we who treat one another worse than children treat one another might be brought into the family of God. And the word that he speaks is something like grace and truth. The truth that you're made in the image of God, that everything matters more than you can possibly imagine, including you. That God is real and that he cares for you more than you could possibly know. But that the world is more broken than you've ever allowed yourself to imagine. He speaks these truths to us. But he also speaks grace. That he's not going to come merely in judgment, merely in wrath. He's not a disdainful father sitting upstairs, as it were, looking down at us, going, why can't we do better? Rather, he comes into human story. He puts on human flesh. He lives and dies in our place for our sins to show us grace so that all of the ugliness that we bring into the world, we don't get the outcome for. All of the determined opposition to everything that will destroy us, God does not pour out on us, but gives to his Son Jesus so that he might give the sonship of Jesus to us. Why are Christians so on about this whole Jesus guy? Why do we make a big deal out of him? Why do we talk about Jesus every Christmas? Because Jesus Christ is God the Word, who came to speak the final word. God is real. He loves you more than you can possibly imagine. And your sin is worse than you've ever allowed yourself to think. But he loves you so much that he steps into your brokenness, receiving brokenness in himself, his own body even breaking, so that he might make our world whole again. And that is the final word to whatever you associate Christmas with. I started by asking you, when I say the word Christmas, what do you think? Whatever it is that you think, whatever it is that you feel, whatever it is that is currently excusing you from trusting God fully, causes you to run from him, that causes you to feel torn apart, I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ, God the Word, loves you so much that he came to not just speak a final word, but to embody the final word. Peace, wholeness, sonship, welcome, forgiveness, grace, and mercy for all of our pain and sadness and brokenness. So, this Christmas, I simply want to ask you, do you receive that word? It says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. He came to his own people, and they didn't know him. They didn't even receive him, but all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of the blood of flesh or the will of a man, but of God. My simple question to you is, who among this story shall you be? Like that kid's aiming high. Shall you be among those who name the name of Jesus and who believe in his name? Or will you be among those who just don't receive him? I say, nah, I'll stick with my own word, my own association. Whether you've been a follower of Jesus for a really long time or this thing's totally new to you, my invitation, my admonition, my encouragement to you this Christmas season is to receive Jesus, to say yes to Jesus Christ, who is God the Word, who can speak the final word to whatever your situation is, as you trust in him, receive grace and truth from him. And that's better than anything Christmas on this side of the veil can give to us. Will you pray with me?